Good morning. This is your girl, Classy Lady L, and I want to welcome you back to the All Things Golden podcast show. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your prayers, for your support and your love. Thank you so much. You all really just kept me uplifted. And I hope that whatever God has given me to share with the world, it will definitely bless you. So today we will be discussing the minefield of idleness. Now, I know that a lot of people, they talk about, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And it really is. So today we're going to go through some examples, and then we're going to also give you some tips and tools of life that will help you to avoid those things. And then if you actually get into that time in your life where you have a slow moment or you're just in the valley, we're going to give you some tips on how to not slow down, but keep going, even though things are looking bleak, and how to build your faith throughout the process. But first, I want to highlight a couple of small businesses. The first business that I'm going to highlight is All About the Sweets Bakery. I am biased. Yes, I am. It is my baby sister's business. So you guys, please go check her out. Her website is allaboutthesweetsbakery.com. One word, that's allaboutthesweetsbakery.com. And she will actually make anything that you need for her to make. She's made Dora, the cartoon Dora cakes. She makes cupcakes. She has the bomb pound cake. She got that recipe from one of the mothers in our church, and it is divine, let me tell you. So y'all go check her out. Her name is Tabitha Bennett, and she is a rising small business owner in the Metro East St. Louis area. I would like to highlight, oh my God, this gourmet donut shop. They have two locations. One is in Tower Grove and the other is in Clayton, Missouri. If you guys have not heard about this this business, you need to go. No lie, their donuts are like 6 inches, they come in squares and they are just amazing. So it's called Vincent Van Donuts. Yeah, you heard it correctly. Like the artist, but Vincent Van Donuts. They deliver. They also have a food truck that is going to be going out here pretty soon. And then they also, you can go in. The address is 40 North Central in Clayton, and then 1072 Tower Grove Avenue. They pretty much sell from like 6 a.m. until they sell out, and they sell out very quickly. So please go out there and tell them that LaKeitra from All Things Golden sent you. And you will be amazed by these. They're really pieces of artwork. I mean, they are wonderful. My favorite thing is the biscuit collage. It is a savory collage made of biscuit dough and filled with your choice of either bacon, egg, and cheese or sausage gravy. So it said bacon and cheese. So, you know, that's already a winner with a foodie like me. So going out there and just, oh my gosh, don't go into the food coma, but you know, just eat until your heart is content. So I wanted to plug those two small businesses on today, and just, oh my gosh, let you in on the blessings of the Lord. So for music today, I don't have a very particular song on my heart today, but today is kind of rainy outside and it's just kind of, So I've been listening to my playlists on Spotify, and the current playlist that I'm listening to is the Springtime Acoustic Spring playlist. Spring is in the air somewhere. Uplifting acoustics to see you through the season. So, yeah, it's just positive music, nothing really, you know, driving me into any weird emotions where like I want to go do something that is not conducive to spiritual life, but it's just relaxing music, things that make you think of beautiful spring days, flowers, you know, the cool breeze and things like that. So, you know, if you're not following me on Spotify, you should do so, because I am told that I do listen to good music. So, Spotify helps me come into contact with a lot of indie artists and music that you don't hear on the radio. And a lot of times the radio and the masses, they miss out on really great artists and great songs because it's not widely popular. And I think that people do themselves a disservice when they don't listen to indie artists and stuff like that. Especially if you're a musician or a singer, you could pick up a lot of different techniques and cool things that you would have never thought about because you're only listening to a certain type or a certain amount of music. So do yourself a favor and go on Spotify. You can follow me. My name on there is my actual name. So Lakeitra Bennett, that's LKETTRA. And then Bennett, BENNETT. And you'll find everything that I listen to, from classical to gospel, from country to folk song. So, anything. I listen to anything that sounds great, and that I can learn from. All right. So we're going to dig into, our topic, the mind filled of idleness. Okay. So we're going to talk about King David for a moment. In 2 Samuel 11, that chapter explains David's greatest sin and most notable mess up. He compounded a great sin with an even greater one. Everybody knows what we're talking about, right? David and Bathsheba. Okay. So, David is the king of Israel. And, he came into office, or the position after, King Saul. David was a great warrior, okay? So during this time, they were out at war, okay? But on this day, the king just decided to be at home, okay? So he, you know, at home, chilling, doing whatever he's not supposed to be doing because he's supposed to be out with the troops, okay? So he is out, you know, he got up late, you know how we do when we just sleep all day and then we get up in the evening, just all off time schedule and just out of whack. So he goes up to the rooftop and, you know, looking out, and he sees this just beautiful woman, amazing. She was fine, whatever, however you want to say it. She was built, you know, just amazing. So, he sent for her, and, you know, she came, 'cause what you gonna do? The king's telling you to come to his house or whatever. And you gonna deny the king? Okay. So she goes or whatever. And basically, I believe David used his position and his authority. He abused it. And he slept with the lady. She, Bathsheba is her name. And she was actually married. So he commits adultery with this married woman whose husband was off at war. Okay. And which his name is Uriah. And, you know, so David, you know, fulfilling the lust of his flesh and his eye, because he looked out and he saw and he was like, well, dang. Okay. Then his flesh got involved. All right. So he brings her in and he, you know, commits adultery. She becomes pregnant. Okay. So David, he goes through all this, like, I guess he was trying to, he felt justified, you know, well, I'm the king, you know, I can have anything I want her or whatever. And, but then it's like, he doesn't stop there. Okay. So he tries to, cover up because, you know, now he didn't really did something. Okay. So he pregnant or she's pregnant. He about to be a daddy. So he trying to figure out any way he can to keep it on the low, the hush or whatever. So he, he sends word for Uriah to come home. So he, David trying to be slick. Okay. So he, tries to get Uriah home. Get him drunk. He brings him to a feast to try to honor him, to make him into the great hero that he is. And really, he is a hero, you know, because he's off fighting for the homeland's, you know, freedom, all that. Think about our U.S. troops and stuff. Like, they are our heroes. They keep us safe and protected with the help of the Lord. They keep us safe and protected, keep everything from hitting the U.S. mainland and stuff like that. So Uriah was out doing that. So David tries to honor him with the feast, tries to get him drunk so that, okay, well, you know, this is how we're going to do it. He's going to get drunk. You know, when people get drunk, sometimes people get amorous. They just touchy-feely. They want to, you know, they just want to love on people and all that kind of stuff. So David's like, okay, we're going to do this. Okay. So he tries to send him home with the wife so that he can, you know, do what husband and wives do. When they haven't seen each other in a long time, they show their love by, you know, one of the most obvious ways is to act in the most intimate form of worship. And that didn't work. He comes out and Uriah's at the gate, you know, with the servants or whatever. So David's like, man, dang, okay. So now I got to do something again. So David brings him back, tries to get him drunk again so that he can go straight home. Like, he just blatantly trying to get him drunk. The no feast this time, and trying to get him to go and sleep with the wife. Nope. Backfires on David, didn't go home, goes right back to the gate because he was a true soldier. Why Uriah felt like, why should I be at home enjoying everything that my brothers out there cannot enjoy? They can't enjoy this food. They can't enjoy the wine and the water. They can't enjoy their wives and their family and all that. Why should I be here? I should be out there on the field fighting next to my brothers. So he was a soldier through and through. Even like when people get drunk, they say it's a truth serum or whatever. Even with all of that going through him, he felt like he truly felt like he should be out there with his brothers. So David's like, oh man, I don't know, you know, dang, you know, this man will not go back. And so he's getting desperate at this point. And he decides to pen a letter to the safety officer in charge. So he has Uriah to take a letter. Unbeknownst to Uriah, he's actually delivering his own death sentence in this letter. Okay, so the letter basically tells them to, they're going to proceed forward into battle, and they're going to put Uriah on the front line. And then when the enemy, you know, attacks them back or whatever, they're going to leave Uriah there. So Uriah ends up being killed, but he's basically murdered by David's hands because David gave the order for him to be killed. Okay. So David is just compounding sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. So, you know, all this backstory, all of this happened while David was idle. Could you imagine if he was out at war? If he was out with his brothers, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to look upon something that was not his and to covet it, and then to sin with her, make a child and all this kind of stuff, then try to figure out how he gonna cover up all this stuff because he acted on his wayward thoughts, his wandering eye. And he was not in the place where he should have been from the very beginning. Okay. you know, it almost seems like when you're in a position like David was, like, you're not in the place where you're supposed to be. If you, I know there's been some times when, you know, I have gotten out of bed late, and it's like my whole day was gone. My, the things that I wanted to do, my opportunity was missed. And then my whole day is just upside down because I'm trying to play catch up, or, you know, I can't get back that time that I've wasted. And I just feel so crazy and stuff. And like, I always laugh because my parents used to tell one of my siblings, because she thinks it's normal to rise in the evening and stay up all night and all that kind of stuff. And they would just shake their heads at her and be like, "Huh, she'll just sleep her whole life away." And, you know, I know they're exaggerating, but, you know, part of it is true because I've experienced that when I, you know, I'd be on my weeks off and I would just sleep or whatever until I felt like I needed to get up. And, you know, I didn't feel normal because everybody else is awake doing what they need to do. And then when I get up, nobody has time to do anything. They've already completed their tasks or whatever. And like, there's nothing for me to do. So it's basically a waste. I mean, now I'm not coming against or speaking against people who actually work at night. So, you know, that is a different circumstances. I understand that. I've worked overnights and things like that. You have to do what you have to do. But if there was nothing wrong with you or nothing, you don't have a job that makes you or requires you to work at night, then it is out of the ordinary for you to be sleeping all day and being up all night. Like, no business, not unless you're in a special type of business that you working at night like that. We understand where we're going with that. So, you know, David, he was idle. All of this came from him being idle, not doing what he was supposed to do. So idleness is the state of inaction or inactivity. That is very dangerous. Like, your mind can go anywhere. This is a huge opportunity for the enemy to come in and attack you. Before you know it, you'll be found doing things you never thought you'd have. I bet David didn't even ever think that he would commit adultery with somebody else's wife, that he would have that same man murdered, that he would have to repent because of that situation. And we all know that David was a man after God's own heart. He was a true worshiper. You know, everybody wants to use David as, you know, their example when it comes to their relationship with the Lord, worshiping and worshiping God in every situation, regardless of it. You know, all of us want to use David as a great example. But I bet he never thought that he would get to that point. So when we don't fill up our time with things that lead us to our destiny, that fulfills our purpose and strengthens us, we allow space and opportunity to be weakened by distractions. The after emotions of the consequences of distractions, you know, let's say, for instance, driving, we're, you know, going to the store, but then we get distracted by a text message. The distraction causes a car accident. So now you have to deal with all the emotions and probably injuries. Whether it's you, your passenger, or the other person, if you hit a car, you have to deal with all that, you know, anger, pain, sadness, grief, all of that kind of stuff. And it can wreak havoc in your life if you're not careful. So those after emotions, you know, it can become a dark tunnel that you will just go down. And sometimes it's hard to get off that track because you begin to compound everything that you have or experience with more negative stuff. I can speak from experience with something as little as not reading my word daily. I suffered from bouts of depression, loneliness, unexplained anger, complacency, sadness. I thought it would just be easier if I stayed in bed all day. I inadvertently begin hiding from life. Has anybody ever felt like that? Yeah, you know, oh, today would be so much easier if I just stayed in bed. Oh, I don't want to go out and meet people. I hate people, all this kind of stuff, you know, or you're too fearful to really go for what you're wanting. Like, you see this perfect job for you. And you have the qualifications, you have the experience, you have everything to obtain that job, but you just won't because you're hiding from life. Well, you know, what if I get that job and, you know, everybody starts to look at me, everybody starts to pay attention to me. Everybody, you know, starts talking to me. I don't like people. I don't like the feeling to have all eyes on me. You know, you're just that's a part of life. People are going to look for you, especially if you're Christian. People are going to watch you and all that kind of stuff. It just comes with the territory. So, you know, I hid from life. You know, my teachers used to tell me that when you're not moving, you are actually going backwards. And I know that doesn't make sense on the surface, but when you really think about it, you do. It looks like you're going backwards because everybody else, people, time, opportunities, that keeps on moving forward and you're standing still. So you're getting left further and further behind. So it does look like you're moving backwards. So you're going to be far behind everybody else. Okay, so that's why we say, and I do believe this statement, that when you don't move, you're actually going backwards. Okay, so there are some things that help me that I want to, you know, go ahead and refer over to you because, you know, when God gives us things, it's not just for ourselves, it's to help edify the body of Christ, to help our brothers and sisters. We are to bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters, you know, comfort the feeble-minded, strengthen the weak, all that type of stuff, which is found in scripture. So yeah, we do have a responsibility to help our brothers and sisters. So things that helped me is having an accountability partner. And I'm not saying somebody that's going to agree with you 100% of the time, not even somebody that's your friend. You get somebody that's going to tell you the truth no matter what, if you like it, if you don't like it. They just gonna tell you the truth. And sometimes it hurts. I've had people come and tell me the truth and I'd be like, who are you? But I had to stop and think about it. Okay. Yeah. They that's truth. Okay. Let me get myself together. So, you know, having an accountability partner that is not necessarily somebody that you like or that is your friend, will help you, because they will come in at those moments where you need truth, you need a voice of reason. Okay. Also, you're going to need friends who focus on things of God, the things of God. So you need people, like-minded people in your circle that is going to tell you, about the Lord, that is going to remind you of his statutes, his promises, the way that we are supposed to live and things like that. And that's very good, because the people that you're around a lot, you're going to start to be just like them. If you want to call it osmosis, whatever you want to call it, it usually happens that way. Somebody begins to start acting like the other. Okay. Not shying away from spiritual conversations. Yes. So, you know, when we get together with people, we like to relax. We like to just be ourselves. But a lot of times when we be ourselves, we don't discuss spiritual things. And I know there are people that are like, oh, you too deep. You being too spiritual. You're of no earthly good. But I heard a message by Brother Terry Shock, who is a great teacher and preacher. I believe he's from Louisiana, out of the Church of the Pentecostals of Alexandria. And he preached a message, "What's Wrong with Being Spiritual?" Now, if we are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, we become spiritual. We already have a spirit, but we have a greater connection with the Lord, because his spirit is actually living on the inside of us. And, you know, we understand that we have a war going on between the spirit and the flesh, and they are just constantly at odds with each other. And technically, our spirit man should be stronger, and it always should override what the flesh wants. So going back to our spiritual conversations, like, what's wrong with having those? People look at us to be different. So if we are having a conversation or lifestyle that isn't contrary to spiritual things, to the word of God, and things that people identify with being a true Christian, then it's not very good for us. And it does take a toll on our behavior. So have spiritual conversations regardless of your surroundings and stuff like that. I mean, don't do anything that will get you in trouble. But you also have to think about, you know, how the disciples were and the apostles and stuff like that. You know, they were spiritual in whatever, whatever situation they were in. And I'm just saying, you know, don't shy away, you know, even if people are teasing you, saying, oh, you too deep or whatever. OK, well, I'll be deep over here when, you know, while the Lord is communicating with me and using me, and I'm not misrepresenting the spirit of the Lord, of the living God. So, you know, take that with however you want it or whatever. But please don't shy away from that. Don't think there is anything wrong with being spiritual, because I would rather be spiritual or be looked at as being spiritual instead of being looked at as being, oh, she carnal minded. She's always thinking about this. She's always talking about this. And people are looking at me with disdain and then also saying, well, I don't want to be a Christian. Them church folk, they ain't real about anything. They always looking at all this kind of stuff. They always fighting. They always arguing. They always doing it. I don't want to be associated with that type of stuff. So another thing that I did was listening to audio Bibles at night while sleeping. I think it's better than leaving the TV on. Sometimes we have to have noise in the background. We'll fill it up with good, positive things. We do take in things when we're sleeping. That's why they tell you to talk to people when they're in comas and stuff like that. They can hear you. It goes into their being. So if we... we're like a computer, garbage in, garbage out, good information in, good information out. So if we take the word of God and with music, sometimes it helps better to have music playing behind it. It'll sink into our memory and our body and stuff. And it will also help with like memorization and stuff. So that's another great way to help you not stay idle and get you thinking about things. Joining Bible devotions on the Bible app. Nowadays, everybody has a Bible on their phone, their tablet, their iPad, whatever. And so the Bible has interactive, depending on which one you use, interactive devotions that you can tag or you can join up with your friends. If they have the same app, it connects through social media and email and stuff like that. And you can follow devotions with people and you can comment and have discussions and things like that. And it'll just help keep you thinking on the word of God and help you with memorization, help you learn the Bible and keep you connected. That's the basic thing that we're trying to help you is stay connected to the body of Christ. Reading books on spirituality, for example, I went to the bookstore and just bought some little pamphlets or books on spiritual gifts, discovering your spiritual gifts, God's creative power for healing, divine healing facts, you know, just things that will cause you to go a little bit deeper, help you to study more in the word, that's going to keep your mind focused on things like that. I had to force myself to go to church sometimes just to be around the saints of God, people that are like-minded. Some days I just did not want to go. I just didn't want to be around people, or I just didn't enjoy it. But the Bible tells us that our inheritance is amongst the saints. Okay. So when you go to church or whatever, you how beautiful and lovely is it for brethren to dwell together in unity, okay? And it's just something about being together while the saints are praising God, while they're worshiping. And it's your spirits all connect and link. And it's just like you can get strength from hearing somebody's testimony. When you look at, have you ever just looked at somebody like a child, if there's a child worshiping and giving God praise, and even if they're, you know, when they speak in tongues, it's like you are rejuvenated. You just, you get a second wind and you feel your strength. And, you know, they always, I feel my help coming on type stuff, but you know, it's true. You really do, become uplifted and all that type of stuff. So it's good to be in church. You can go to church with a headache and come out completely healed. You can go to church depressed, come out with joy like you've never had before. You can go to church completely drunk and leave completely sober, stone cold sober. I've seen it happen. A lady came in off the street just stumbling, belligerently drunk. The elders and evangelists laid hands on her and she walked up out of there drier than the Sahara Desert. She was just sober because of the power of God. And the power of God, the power of God is the strongest force upon earth. And whatever you have, whatever you're experiencing, is it's no match for the power of God. So you go to church, you know, what, get yourself out of that funk, whatever it is that is battling you. So force yourself to do that. And another thing, listen to positive podcasts, music, playlists and stuff like that. Get yourself out of your comfort zone. Don't always listen to, you know, things that are gonna help the idleness or the negativity, whatever you're experiencing at that moment. You know, listening to positive things that are gonna help you get to your destiny. Like for instance, I listen to different podcasts that that helped me, like Happy Black Woman podcast with Rosetta Thurman. I am giving people plugs on here. So if you want to go on Spotify, you know, by all means, go ahead and listen to them. The Affirmation Pod with Josie Doug, I'm sorry. Bad with Money by Gabby Dunn. You know, things that are going to help me in my daily life, with my finances, with my business, being creative, you know, read somebody's blog that are going to give you creative ideas and stuff like that, that will propel you into, your destiny, that are going to strengthen you. It doesn't always have to be about church. It could just be about things, because we're not of the world. We're living in the world, and we do have to survive even after we have had our spiritual moments and stuff like that. And God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be successful. We are not meant to be broke, poor, looking, you know, all kind of crazy or whatever, unless we have a very specific task from the Lord to do. He wants us to have benefits and be rewarded on this side of heaven as well. So, and the things that he gives us, we are to be good stewards of it. So, you know, I believe that we are to thrive in our businesses, in our homes, with our children, you know, in school, whatever we do, whatever talent we have, whatever gift we have, we are supposed to take those, multiply it, and then use it to help others. So find a podcast or join a group, or, you know, get around people that are going to help you cultivate those types of your gifts and talents and things. Anything that you want to do, do it unto the Lord. Colossians 3 tells us that whatever we do in word or deed, do it unto the name of Jesus, okay? So do it. Serve the Lord with gladness, okay? So I am getting down to my time for it to be over. I probably went over my time, but pray for me. We're going to get it under 15 minutes the next time, okay? So we just want to, you know, encourage you all to go ahead and just live for the Lord. Remember to, you know, stay golden. And if you don't know what I mean by staying golden, it's just, you know, living for God, being positive in everything, doing it all unto Jesus. And he is going to continue to perfect you through trials and tribulations. And don't worry, it may hurt. It may not feel good. It may not look good. But guess what? You're going to come out as pure gold in the end. So, you know, all of this stuff is meant for a reason. It's going to work out for you. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So stay golden, you all. And remember to go and check out these small businesses, All About the Sweets Bakery and Vincent Van Donuts. Check me out on Spotify, on Instagram, Facebook. I am also on Twitter, Classy Lady L. And also, please go to the shop Amour Grace on the allthingsgolden.co website. That's allthingsgolden.co.
and click on shop, where you can also find shoes, pumps. A lady loves a good pump. Pointy shoes, stilettos, whatever it is that you like. We also have dresses, blouses, and men, I did not leave you out. We have cufflinks, and there are also t-shirts on there that you can purchase. Go and support, show your girls some love, and spread the information. Share, 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 share. So you all have a wonderful day, and I look forward to being with you all on the next podcast. Stay golden.
You're listening to All Things Golden Radio Show with your big sis, Classy Lady L. Practical Christian living for today.